When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Therapy sucks, or so you thought. I know it could be a little bit awkward having to make the appointment, having to go visit someone, sit down, take time out of your day. And as busy as we all are, I can understand it seems like impossible to do so. Fortunately for us at The Coffee Breakup, we're sponsored by BetterHelp. And with BetterHelp, you literally have access to a therapist at your fingertips. Coolest thing about them, literally, you sign up, create a profile, they'll match you with a therapist that's pretty much going to be with exactly what you're looking for. So how important is it with mental health? I mean, we got stressed throughout the day, whether it's work, life, your partner, whatever it may be. BetterHelp, you're able to have access to actually talk to someone about your problems that can really guide you in the right direction. I don't know about you, that's pretty important if you want to actually have like a normal life or anything, just saying. Coolest thing about us, you know, it is 10% off for all the Coffee Breakup listeners for your first month. So sign up now at betterhelp.com/thecoffeebreakup. Again, that's 10% off for your first entire month. Literally no excuse. Check out for your mental health today. Later.
Should you merge your finances after, I guess, getting married to your spouse or being in a committed long-term relationship?
Well, there's an article on CNBC. Gen Z couples are more likely than older generations to keep finances separate. Here's why. Based on this article, one of the reasons that I saw was people, they're concerned of autonomy, knowing that like once we merge our finances, it's like, well, are they going to be kind of questioning or looking at everything that I'm spending? Will I still have the freedom to spend it on whatever I want versus, you know, if it's my own money and we never merge them together, I can kind of do whatever I want with my own money. So what do you think?
I think, well, I guess it depends. Are we talking about a couple that's just dating for a year or two? Are we talking about a couple that's married with kids? I mean, I think there does need to be a little bit more context. I guess if you've just been dating for a little bit, obviously that's out of the question. I'm thinking, for the sake of argument, let's pretend that this is for people who are married and or have kids. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So in that case, I feel like, dude, you already have kids. Your life's already intertwined. Having completely separate bank accounts, to me, doesn't make sense. It's like, and then we've talked about this with Dr. Heasty. It's like, once you're with somebody and you say, you know what, I don't want to spend the rest of my life with this person. Does it really matter? Does it really matter if it's your money, my money? No, it's our money. So I feel like it just makes sense to combine most of your finances, if not all. Meaning, let me elaborate, you still have your own private, your own account, your own checking account. I still have my own checking account where you have your minuscule spendings and if you want to go out and if you want to get a haircut and this and that or whatever. But I think there should be a joint account where the lion's share of both of your money goes into. And that's where you buy everything, or the majority of your expenses go out. Housing, food, childcare, certain expenses, transportation. That is the account where 90% of your money should go into from each of you. To me, that makes the most sense. It generally does. So you still have your own account, and so you'll still have some form of autonomy, you know? That's my opinion.
That would be considered the yours, mine, and ours.
Yes.
So yours, mine, and ours can alleviate a lot of these concerns. Basically, it's have the best of both worlds. Individual accounts offer some financial independence within the relationship alongside joint accounts for shared obligations. So to your point, if there's joint expenses, joint things that need to be bought, joint incomes, I guess, should go into that fund. And anything, I guess, that's individualized, I guess that can be transferred into your own funds to do whatever you want. But then at that point, it's almost like, well, if you make significantly more than your señorita, is she then going to have significantly less to spend if you do have the... So then how would you determine...
What makes, as of now, I've talked to a little bit about Claudia. Like, what would make sense is we have a joint account. Let's say you make 4,000, I make 6,000. Let's say you have to have that conversation. Okay, how much money do we keep in our own accounts for leisure? So let's say we're comfortable each leaving $500 into our own account. meaning that you put in, if you make $4,000, you put $3,500 into the joint account. And if I make $6,000, I put $5,500 into the joint account. So now we each putting in, you know, $9,000. That's our money. That's money for whatever it is that we both spend. And we each have $500. It's not I make more, so I get to spend more on my own. Because I think that's going to breed resentment. Just because I make more money, it's our money. So we have a budget. We have we say, you know, we each have $500 worth. Now, whatever the number is, that's money for us. If you want to do your nails, get a haircut, whatever. That's your personal money. And then we each have our own money. And the money that goes into the account. So if one day you make more money, you still contribute the same, like you still contribute the lion's share into that account. So we both have the same amount of spending in terms of personal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
To me, that makes the most amount. And once you have kids, all that shit goes out of the window anyways. Like if you do have, so kids are a huge responsibility, but you want to say, oh, I want to keep my own money just in case like things don't work out. If things don't work out, that's going to be the least of your problems. Because once you have kids, all that money, you're going to have to deal with it anyways in terms of like child support and all that stuff like that. Like, you know, so to me, it just makes sense to kind of blend that together and become a unit and work as a team. So if I make more money, it's not like, oh shit, I make more money, so I get to spend more money on myself. It's like, we make more money.
Dave Ramsey.
What?
Like, that's the Dave Ramsey model. Like, you know, you combine it, you know, it's, what is it? If I make this much and I contribute this much and my wife doesn't, we both made the same amount of money.
100%. Yeah. So because it's, and then again, it's like if my wife doesn't work because she's raising kids, what, she has no money to spend on herself because she doesn't have any income? Doesn't make sense to me. It's like, so if she stays at her home and I make $10,000 a month, it's not I made $10,000 a month, we made $10,000 a month. If I get injured and I can't work and my girlfriend has, you know, my wife or girlfriend, she's making $5,000. It's not she made $5,000, I made zero because I'm disabled. It's we made $5,000. To me, that makes the most amount of sense, especially when you say this is the person I love and I spend the rest of my life with. Anything else, to me, it's like, what the fuck are we talking about here? So, and that's something I've been telling Claudia, and it's like, we're not married yet, but, you know, you don't have to be married in order to learn how to be a good husband or how to be a good wife, and you can already do the steps now and kind of learn. And we've talked to Heasty about this, and we've had the course and all that stuff like that, and it's like, any money I make is not for me, it's for us. That's how I see it, you know? And so the goal is, obviously, when I'm married, when I'm engaged, for us to join our finances and have a joint account and still have our personal accounts, but we're going to put in X amount of percentage of our income, and that goes into the joint account, and that's our money. And so that's how I see it. What do you think?
You don't think... So you don't think that you need to have some sort of joint account prior to getting married? What, so like, mean? Now, for example, she's going to be moving in.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, she moved in.
How? Right. So yeah. How do you separate the funds? Does she send you money?
So, I mean, obviously, I'm still very new to this. She just moved in literally a few days ago. So what she did, she just sent me a portion of the rent, which I just paid the rent with. I do want to, right now we're just cleaning up our finances, our credit, our debts and stuff like that. Once that is done, I presume in the next month or two, we're going to open up a joint account and put in X amount of money. Just haven't figured out how much yet, but it'll be a percentage of our income that goes into it. And that's our money. I would love to have a separate account for savings and maybe other things as well. But yeah, there will be a joint account prior to us getting married, for sure. And I think once we're engaged, I think it'll just kind of add more to it or whatever the case might be. And so, but I feel like, yeah, it makes the most amount of sense. I know couples who have their finances completely separate. They have kids together, and there was like one person pays the rent or whatever, the other person pays the groceries and the childcare, and it's like, bro, at that point, like, what the fuck are we doing? They'll just put everything together. I know everybody has their own ways of doing it, and if it works out for you, more power to you. But I think that joint, where we both have a joint account together, you have your own personal, I have my own personal, makes the most sense to me.
I think that there's a reason for everything. And I think it just makes the most sense that once you guys have shared expenses, I mean, it depends. Like, I mean, if it's just like one, I don't know, like if it's like a car, like let's say, for example, Christina needed a car, I needed a car, and we co-signed for one another. I don't think we really need to have a joint account for that one payment.
No.
But now that, you know, you have, she's moving in and, you know, I'm with Christina, it's almost like there are certain accounts that I think will make sense when it comes to a lot of the expenses. So, and one of my old banker buddies, in the day, he told me that's what worked for him in his marriage, which was they had four accounts total, one individual for each partner, one that was for play, so, and then one was for everyday expenses. So every single month, their money would be pooled into the main expense account. And I think they both pulled money away from it, like whatever it is that they needed,
or whatever
the month was. Yeah. And then at the end of the year, whatever the surplus was the play money, you know?
So surplus on their personal accounts or surplus on the...
On that joint account. So the joint account had like the lion's share of all the money. They would then pull against it whenever they needed money. But then every single month, whatever the expenses was, like whatever was left over would then get transferred to the play money. Mm-hmm. Or were the reserve money. So in case that something happened, okay, they had the reserve. Or at the end of the year, if they had Christmas and they wanted to go travel, reserve. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But every single month, they did at least have that main master account that was for all their expenses with the house, the kids, the food, whatever. Yeah. Their own individuals to have whatever it is that they wanted to spend on. And at the same time, I think it also is, I don't know, because imagine if you did have just one joint account and everything came out of that account. Like, if you wanted to kind of surprise your partner with something, if they look at the account every day, they would see it.
Yeah. You know, especially if they're like financially
irresponsible.
No, if they're financially responsible and they keep track of it. Like for me, like every time there's a transaction on my account, I get it notified. So it's like I would know for sure. But yeah, so I feel like you have to have your own some sense of autonomy, your own account to do stuff like that, or just have stuff for yourself, dude. I don't gotta know if you fucking went to do your nails and paid $60 to do your nails, or if I go to buy fucking something at the store like for myself. Like you, that's small stuff. I don't think we both need to fucking know exactly how much we're spending for every little thing, you know? Because that could be like, some people, I guess, I can see how some people get anxiety from that, or they're going to go, fuck, like my partner's going to fucking judge me for that, whatever. But it's like, if your partner's going to judge you for that, like, you know, what type of partner are you with, you know? But that's the whole another discussion. But ultimately, yeah, man, I feel like finances are a big, big part in any relationship, and you have to be on the same page, regardless if what, you know, type of method you want to tackle, your partner has to be on the same page. So I'm very fortunate enough that Claudia and I see eye to eye on that. So you just have to know what works for you and then have your partner work with you, you know, not against you.
Before we continue, we wanted to take a minute to emphasize how important it is to take care of your health. As we always say, every healthy relationship starts with yourself. Now, taking care of it isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 2 years, we've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. With one scoop mixed with water, once a day, every day, it makes us feel like we're ready to take on the day. But it actually makes sense why. I mean, each serving of AG1 delivers our daily doses of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. Personally, AG1 just sets something off in my brain. I drink it first thing in the morning every single day, and it sets the foundation for my day. I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as a nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases right from the start of the day. My morning routine isn't complete without AG1, and neither should yours. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why we partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/thecoffeebreakup. That's drinkag1.com/thecoffeebreakup. Check it out.
Yeah, and I think that this is a good moment to kind of shout out Dr. Hasty, since we did the Meet to Marry course, or whatever it is that he wanted to call it, but we did the kind of like a crash course of his course.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that one of the chapters was heavily revolved, I won't say chapters, but I guess segments, was heavily around finances, where we had literally an Excel sheet, which was a tool that we had to input how much we made, the expenses, XYZ.
Yeah.
And it kind of just gave us an idea of where we were financially and the goals that we wanted to kind of put towards to. Okay. And I think most relationships, they lack having those conversations because they just kind of go off of, well, this feels right, so it must be working. Mm-hmm. And it isn't until you have those tough conversations that you really start seeing the true character of the person. And that's why we kind of have this podcast. We really try to create these healthy conversations to really kind of make it more normal to have these conversations that we find to be uncomfortable. Because if you truly want a happy relationship, you truly want a healthy relationship, a long-lasting relationship, you have to really know who that person is. And you're only going to find that by really knowing the ugly side, the good side, and every single side. And that comes with having these uncomfortable conversations that you're probably not used to having.
Yeah.
And again, now that we talk about finances, this is a big one. Because if, you know, right now everything may be fine and dandy, but let's say you continue working and you get married and you think that, oh, this is working and this is what we're supposed to do after a certain amount of time together.
Yeah.
I guess we're happy this is working. And then the truth comes out that there's a lot of financial irresponsibilities. Or maybe imagine you marry someone and they have a bunch of debt and now that gets assumed onto you and shit. Now it's your debt as well because you're married. Like things like that where it's like, you know, you got to be careful.
For sure. Yeah, 100%. And it's like, yeah, you definitely have to be on the same page and you have to, again, you've said it too. It's like, it's not you versus me. It's us versus the problem. And the problem could be bills. The problem could be debt. The problem could be, you know, financial obligations. But it's like, it's not a competition between us. It's for us to kind of tackle the problem together, you know, however it looks like, you know, but you have to be on the same page.
I agree.
Yeah. I think that was a good way of kind of tackling that little subject. Let us know what works for you guys. Maybe you've been together with somebody for fucking 30 years and you have a method that you swear by, and let us know. And we'd love to kind of learn. You know, it's what it's all about. You know, picking up things from people who know more than us, which there are a lot of people out there who know more than us. But, you know, we'd like to chime in, give our feedback.
Or if you have a joint account, what's the craziest expense you've seen your partner make?
Yeah. And what do you think is a last one? At what point do you say, this is a number, because there's a number for everything. What number is it where you say, I have to consult my partner before I'm making this purchase?
Ooh.
Just to close off, do you have, let's say, finances are together right now, today, what would that number be like?
Not right now. I think that if we had a home, like if we had a mortgage,
okay,
I think that that would be a very different conversation, because I'm not going to tell her what she can and can't spend her money on. But if we were like, okay, we have a home, we have a mortgage, we have children, then there would probably be a number that we have to be like, hey, like, we need to talk about this.
Okay, can you give me a number? Like, based on your income right now, both of your
income. My
income
is
right
very
now.
Low right now because of the whole career change that I had.
Okay, okay, okay.
For her, so she's doing pretty good.
She's doing great. So right now, you don't have a number on the top?
No. And I'm not really much of a spender, so it's not like I have to really consult her for shit.
Sure, okay.
Yeah. She likes to spend money.
Yeah.
But again, like, right now, we're not in a position where it's like, I mean, sure, like, she's also saving a lot of money, too.
That's good.
So, yeah, so she's also making really good advancements in that department as well.
Yeah,
but
I love that, yeah. No, because I had a friend of mine, and I think you know him, too, and so when they have a big purchase, they talk about it, you know? It's not like, yo, I'm just going to go out there and spend $1,000 on X, Y, and Z. It's like, we have to have a conversation. Is this purchase within our realm of possibility and affordability,
yeah,
you know.
I guess there are some things, like when it comes to like furniture, maybe,
yeah,
we'll have conversations of that, because okay, she does have nice taste. She has expensive taste.
She does.
So whenever she likes something and she shows me like, oh, look how pretty this is, I'm like, does this make sense right now? Like, is this really gonna help us? Oh, but it's super pretty and we need, like, that's when we start weighing it out.
Yeah,
because
you find a middle ground, maybe.
Huh? I'll find a middle ground. Yeah. Thing is that when it comes to furniture, like, because I'm understanding it now, because you can get shit on Amazon, but then you're going to get Amazon quality shit.
Sure, of course.
Like, it's really kind of hard to get. Yeah. So for her, and, you know, she takes care of her stuff. So when she does buy, but then again, if she took care of something that was cheap, maybe it'll last just as long.
Probably not.
I think it'll just break less or break longer. But yeah, I guess that's one thing that I can kind of like understand. But if it's like something stupid, like I find clothes, expensive clothes, to be very stupid.
Yeah.
Like some Louis Vuitton shit, like a belt from Louis Vuitton.
Oh, yeah, like
a bag design, from this. Yeah, like, I see that and I'm like, that I get it. Yeah, I fucking judge.
That is dumb, yeah.
I judge. And
yeah, the people who have money don't even wear that, but whatever.
Right, but then it's like the people who have money, they want to buy that just to make you feel like broke.
Oh, it's people.
Because it's just silly. It's like a bag or a t-shirt that just has a logo on it. And it's like, you bought that shirt. Well, that shirt's kind of cool. But whatever, we made this shirt for a couple bucks,
yeah,
right? And it's like, that shirt just cost $1,500.
Yeah, yeah.
And they just want you to know.
And that markup is like,
they just want you to know that they can afford that shirt, even though it's the same.
Right.
That I find so silly.
No, but like, let us know, like, if you guys have a number in mind where it's like, after that number, I got to consult my partner. Love to hear it.
What is the number? That's the threshold.
Yeah, where you're like, yo, you got to have a go.
This is good.
That is good. Thank you. guys for the tuning in. Appreciate you guys. See ya.